commemorate his birth. We look back over the many, many years when Christ came to be the Savior. The great event, other than the cross of Calvary, this is possibly the greatest event. But surrounding that great event were a number of different individuals. You ever stop to think who all was involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Many individuals. Some we recognize and they kind of stand in the forefront. There are many in the background. And truly each one of them were unique in themselves. They each had their own characteristics. They had their weaknesses. They had their strengths. And we see in each one of them examples of how God used those who many would consider unusable. But in the sight of God, I don't think there is such an individual. We have Zacharias, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, individuals who at the time of Christ's birth were up in age. They were the senior saints. And some might say that they were too old to be used of the Lord. Yet, with surrendered hearts, God used each one of them in a mighty way. There was Mary. Most people believe that she was just a teenager. Many might consider her to be too young, too inexperienced to be chosen of God for a particular ministry. And yet she, with a submissive will, was used of God in a very special way. But tonight I want us to consider the forgotten man of Christmas. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew and chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading with the 18th verse. We'll read down through verse number 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away freely. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which God being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And so this evening, I want us to look at the man Joseph. The characteristics in the life of Joseph that made him usable for the Lord. As I think of the Christmas story, Joseph is an encouragement to me. Yes, I enjoy thinking about the others, but Joseph just seemed to be a greater encouragement. I want us to see the man Joseph tonight, which many said he was too common to be used. And yet God knows. Let's look to the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we take a few moments tonight to look into the Word of God, to look at this man, Joseph. That one who was the betrothed of Mary. That one who is referred to as the husband of Mary. That one who, to an extent, seemed to just be in the background. And yet, I pray tonight that we would be encouraged in that which we see in Joseph. Pray, dear Father, you protect my lips, and I not speak anything in this. It's in Christ's name we pray. If you're trying to take notes, I'll try to let you know my points. Point number one, Joseph the man. As to his lineage, he was in the line of David. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The son of David, in the lineage of David. And so as his lineage, he was in the line of David. And being so, being in the line of David, being in a royal line, he could have claimed royalty. But he did not. That did not seem to be an important issue to him. As to his occupation, he was a carpenter. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? But is not, referring to Jesus Christ, it says, is not this the carpenter's son? And as a carpenter's son, as Jesus was growing up there in the home, I wonder if Joseph might have taught him a little bit of carpentry. He was a carpenter. Joseph, it appears, died early in Christ's life. My son, as the pastor was preaching this morning, he got to one point in his message, and I said, hey, wait a minute, please stop. That's my message tonight. But it appears that he did die fairly early in Christ's life. He was not heard of after the time that they went to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. And even then, at that particular time, all the attention was upon Mary. You know, Joseph was, to my knowledge, at least the Bible does not say that he was at the marriage of Cana, at the beginning of Christ's ministry. He was not at the cross. He was not at the tomb. A vital parts of Christ's ministry. When it comes to the birth of Christ, Joseph, to an extent, was the forgotten man. He was in the background. He is always referred to as the husband of Mary, or the espoused to Mary, or the referred to as the husband of Mary, the mother of Christ. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Kind of in the side line mentions Joseph, but Mary was the important one. In the Christmas carols, look through your hymn book. How many of the carols speak of Joseph? We sing of the Virgin Mother. We sing of the angels from the realms of glory. We sing of the shepherds who are out in the fields watching over their flocks by night. We sing of the three kings of the Orient. But to my recollection, we do not sing of Joseph. Now, I have been told that there is a Christmas hymn about Joseph. I have not sung it. I have not heard of it, but very likely it's out there. But you know, normally in our hymn book, we do not have Christmas hymns referring to Joseph. We find no words in the Bible spoken by Joseph. Mary spoke. Zacharias, Simeon. Many of them spoke, but you know, even the shepherds spoke. The angels spoke. I believe the Green Kings might even said a word or two. But you have no recorded words of Joseph. Yet as you consider Joseph, we find that his life spoke volumes. This being true, Joseph is one with an encouragement to those like you and I who fit in the category of the common man, the common woman. In fact, as you look at churches, you look at fundamental Baptist churches, who is it that is the backbone of the church? It's the common man. It's the layman. It's the workers. Those who go off every morning to a job someplace, or those who are in the home taking care of the children and so forth. Encourage knowing that we can be used of the Lord. And so Joseph, the man. Number two, if you're trying to keep track. Joseph, the man of God. Joseph was a man of compassion. In Matthew chapter 1, and in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Again in Luke chapter 2, first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made, when Cyrenus, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. In the time of Joseph and Mary, the espousal time or the betrothal time, the couple were treated as though married, except they were not lived together. They were called husband and wife. And it was during this time that Joseph discovered that Mary, his espoused wife, his betrothed, was with child. Now you think back to the time of Mary and Joseph. Things were much different then than they are now. But finding her to be with child, causing Joseph to believe that she had been unfaithful, that she had committed adultery. And adultery was considered a serious crime in those days. It ought to be the same today. No, they were betrothed. They were considered as husband and wife. But they did not live together. Today, they live together, even though they're not married. Not right. But adultery was considered a serious crime. Look again at verses 18 and 19. It says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, try to put yourself, especially you men, in the sandals of Joseph. She was found to be with child. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Privily, whatever you want to pronounce it. Joseph had a decision to make. What was he going to do? How was he going to respond to the fact that it appeared outwardly that Mary had been unfaithful, that Mary had committed adultery, a crime that is punishable by stoning? We read in John chapter 8 and verses 3 down through verse 5, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded such that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Adultery is a crime punishable by death. Stoning. And yet Joseph, being a man of compassion, though his heart very likely was broken, he knew she had to be put away. And yet he loved her. He loved demonstrated by the decision made concerning her. The compassion that he demonstrated at that particular time. We point out the fact that Mary was chosen of God to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not worship Mary. And yet, Mary was a privileged woman. Be chosen. A very special calling of God to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, tonight, I believe Joseph's calling was just as strong. He too was chosen of God. He too was chosen to be the husband of Mary. He too was chosen to be there in the home to help Mary to raise the Christ child. A very special calling of God. And I believe one of the reasons that he was called is because he was a man of compassion. He was a man of character. As the Bible says, he was a just man. He has compassion, not wanting to unduly condemn her, not to unduly expose her. What if Joseph had not been a man of compassion? Had the story been much different? If he had not been a man of compassion, would he have treated her much differently? Would he have actually went according to the law? But he was a man of compassion. He was willing to forgive. Yes, we need to realize tonight that sin must be dealt with. But let us so do that dealing with sin with compassion, with tenderness. We read in Galatians chapter 6 and 1, verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yes, we do not want to sweep sin under the rug. We also want to have a compassionate spirit, a forgiving spirit, as we learn from the life of God. Treat others as you would like to be treated if the situation was reversed. You were the one in need of rebuke, of discipline, not desired to be overbearing. He was a man of compassion. Secondly, he was a man of faithfulness. Joseph was faithful in his duties as a citizen. Going to be taxed or to be registered. As we've already mentioned, he demonstrated a faithfulness to Mary, even though circumstances dictated that he didn't really need her. All indications as a faithful husband, he was also a faithful dad. I believe we see in Joseph a great example for we dads, granddads. Great granddad. You happen to be here, a great, great granddad. Though Joseph was not Christ's true dad, he was his stepdad or foster dad, or however you want to refer to him. He was given that privilege also that responsibility of raising the Christ child, being the dad in the home. And he took that responsibility very seriously. He cared for Jesus. We will see later that Joseph was faithful in his care of Christ, in that he provided protection for him. But he was an example for Jesus. You know, it's hard for me to fathom, you know. Jesus was God. He was sinless. He was perfect. And yet, Joseph, as his dad, was an example. An example that we as dads ought to be as well. He took him to the temple to be circumcised in accordance to the law. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 21 down through verse 24. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. They brought him to the temple. They fulfilled the law. They fulfilled the culture of that the particular day. And I believe that Joseph was very fundamental in that, in his leading of the family and bringing Jesus to the temple. Joseph, as a parent, led his family in being faithful to God's house, to God's teaching. In this he demonstrated a faithfulness to God. And what an example that is for you and I as dads and granddads today, to see that our children are given the privilege to be in the house of God, to be under the Word of God, to be taught the things of God. Though Joseph could have been seen as a common man, yet he was used of God. He was used of God in the fact that he was found faithful. And as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verses 1 and particularly verse number 2, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Though we might not have great abilities, though we might not be out in the forefront, we're in the background, may we still be able to hear the words of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I don't think that God is necessarily looking for great men. I don't think he's necessarily looking for highly educated men. And praise the Lord for both of those. But he is looking for faith. Men who be true to his word, being faithful as citizens, being faithful as spouses, being faithful as parents and grandparents, especially being faithful as the servants of the Lord. Faithful to his person, faithful to his word, faithful to his house. Joseph, a man of God, a man of compassion. He was a man of faithfulness. And to me, that is a characteristic. Both of those are characteristics. Also, he was a man of obedience. As you follow the life of Joseph, you find him to be a man who quickly and willingly obeyed instructions given him by the Lord. You do not find him questioning the Lord, but rather demonstrated obedient faith. There's a number of examples of Joseph's obedience in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, And so the angel of the Lord came to Joseph. In this time of uncertainty in Joseph's life, this time of him probably going back and forth, what should I do? How should I react? How should I respond to the fact that my spouse, the wife, is with child? And the angel came to Joseph, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And you can drop down to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, notice the next verse, the next phrase, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He did what he was told to do. He followed the will of God. He followed the direction of God in his life. He was obedient to what was told him. And he took Mary to be his wife. And he began caring for her. He did as is instructed, though it went contrary to his first thoughts concerning the situation. Follow the story on through. Shortly after the visit of the wise men, of course, we could have looked at the fact that he was obedient even to the government, you might say, in the fact that there was a registration, and he was to go to his hometown, and he did so. But after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, shortly after the visit of the wise men, Joseph again was given very specific instructions to flee to Egypt to protect the Christ child. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Very specific instructions. And you go on into verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Joseph was a man of compassion. He was a man of faithfulness, but he was also a man of obedience. Following the instruction of the Lord, you know, is always the safest place to be. He will never lead you astray. He'll never ask you to do anything but what he'll be there to help you do it. The happiest place, most blessed place you could be, is doing what the Lord asks you to do. James chapter 1 and verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. Back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, I believe it is, it says, Blessed is the man who reads the word and the man who hears the word, and that's not the exact quoting of it. But then it says, He that doeth. Being individuals of obedience. Not only is that what brings peace and blessing to your own life, but it'll bring blessing to others who you influence by your life. Can you imagine being in that home? Mary, chosen of God to be the mother. Joseph, chosen of God to be his earthly dad. Can you imagine the blessing that Joseph was to his life to marry his wife? Can you imagine even the blessing he was to Jesus in being the leader in the home? Joseph, the forgotten man, and yet Joseph, I'd like to refer to him as the encourager. The encourager to we who are just common folk. Through Joseph, we're reminded that with everybody, Joseph, we're reminded with the Lord, everybody is somebody. Everybody can be used of the Lord if they're willing to be used. Mary was used of the Lord because she was willing to be used. Joseph was willing to be used of the Lord. And he was. And he is an example for you and I, especially for we men today. We can be encouraged in the thought that the Lord can and he does use common people. There's not an individual in this auditorium this evening to what they can be used of the Lord if we're willing to use. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that we have in the man Joseph. A man who often is somewhat, to a certain extent, forgotten at Christmas time. We think of Mary. We think of the shepherds out in the pasture feeding their flock by night. We think of the angels who came and proclaimed the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the wise men who came and worshiped the Lord. But then there's Joseph. Just a steady, faithful, and passionate individual, yet great, used of God. Still having an influence upon Christians today. Pray, dear Father, tonight you help me be a Joseph. Be a man of compassion, a man of patience, a man of peace. That's in Christ's name we pray.